You might have noticed that Pat and I are pretty fussy about our finances and our investments.
Yeah, a lot of junk doesn't make it past our bullshit detectors. But one thing that we've both used for many years is ShareSite. It records all dividends, franking credits, transactions, and performance easily in one place.
You can generate reports for income and capital gains, which makes tax time super easy. And ShareSite is completely free if you have 10 holdings or less.
So we've partnered with ShareSite to help support the podcast and provide all our listeners who upgrade to a paid plan a saving of 33% off the annual plan price. If you start with a free plan using our link, you'll still get that discount if you upgrade to a paid plan in the first 60 days.
Just head to ShareSite.com/fire and chill to get started.
Welcome to the Fire and Chill podcast, a collaboration between Dave from Strong Money Australia and Pat from Lifelong Shuffle, where we're going to have regular conversations about fire, investing, and living your best life.
Hey everyone, welcome to the first episode of the Fire and Chill podcast. We're really excited to get started. My name's Dave from Strong Money Australia, and with me I have Pat from Lifelong Shuffle. How you doing, Pat?
Hey, pretty good, Dave. How are you?
Good, mate. Very good. Very excited to get started.
Yes, me too.
All right. So since it's our first show, we thought we'd share like a bit about who we are and why we started the podcast and sort of what you can expect from us.
Yeah, exactly. We just want to, let you know what's going on here and why we started it and perhaps run through all we want to get through and everything we want to achieve with this podcast. And hopefully it'll be good for you guys too, and you'll have fun listening.
All right, so maybe to get started, we'll talk about who this podcast is for.
Yeah, good idea, Dave. So Dave and I are both Australian fire bloggers. We both run our own individual websites. Dave is running Strong Money Australia, and I write on Lifelong Shuffle. We both thought we'd start this podcast for anyone that has kind of sick of being on the constant spending and work treadmill and want something different.
I think we all know at least a good handful of people that live week to week, and it's not a great situation to be in. I mean, it's pretty stressful. You have very little free time. You have very little kind of flexibility and options on what to do in your future, because you are just on that treadmill week after week, just living just to pay the bills. And luckily, a lot of people realize that that's not the best way to go and that there is another option, which is why a lot of people nowadays especially are turning towards things like financial independence and wanting to retire early to get their lives back.
Yeah, and like you were saying, Dave, we all know those people. I mean, you don't work anymore, but I go to work and I see these sorts, maybe not in my own organization, maybe in other organizations, but there's always these sort of 50-year-old people or even younger, and they've just checked out. Like, they're just going in, they're getting their paycheck, they're going home, they're not interested, they're not having fun anymore. You know, what seemed like a great career when they were 21, 22, 23, they're well and truly over it. And I know a lot of people feel that way, but this is sort of what financial independence is all about. If you're giving yourself options, if you, you're just over being on that treadmill every day, going into work, coming home, spending all your money and not knowing what else to do.
And it's a bit sad, isn't it? Because like you said, it's almost like they've lost their zest for life in a way, or their reason for getting up in the morning. I mean, they do it because they feel like they have to do it and they feel like there's no other option, yeah. Which is just pretty sad in a way.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, there really isn't any other option. You know, they've got themselves this huge, expensive lifestyle and they're just, you know, burning daylight, I like to say, going into work just to pay for that lifestyle and then coming home and not enjoying it whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really about... It's really about for the people who want to take charge of their lives and their futures by learning to use their money in a more effective way to create you know, like a strong financial base for themselves so that they can then choose what to do with their time and how they spend the rest of their lives and what they enjoy doing.
Yeah, and just so we're clear, that doesn't mean that we're against the idea of work or even full-time work. If it's genuinely something you really enjoy and something you want to continue enjoying, then financial independence is just about giving you more flexibility around what type of work you take and how much you enjoy it, and perhaps choosing work or choosing jobs that more closely align with your values and what you want to achieve out of work instead of just going for the job which has the highest paycheck.
Yeah, exactly. It's about being able to choose what work you do and being able to make choices not based on financial reasons, based on, say, you know, what's genuinely important to you in your life. So you're kind of almost removing money from your decision-making process and living and working more in line with your values and what's actually important, rather than just needing to earn a certain amount to cover your expenses.
Yeah, 100% agree. And of course, when you do get to a point where you're now able to work where money isn't a huge consideration for you, then what that then means for you is you've got more freedom, you've got less stress, and you've got more ability to control how you spend your time. I mean, that's really important for a lot of people, myself included, because in general, work is very demanding. It's very demanding of your time, and it's very demanding of you as a human. And so what ends up happening is that instead of prioritizing all these events in your life or things in your life, like taking care of your children, you know, going to see your children at, you know, perhaps the weekend footy practice or something, what ends up happening is work always gets the highest priority, and then other things just have to fall underneath it and take whatever time's left. And that's, I think, no way to live. If you could remove money from the decision-making process, then you could prioritize work on that full continuum, where it's like, well, this weekend, this is most important to me, or today on whatever, I say weekend because I'm so ingrained into that culture, but let's say on a Wednesday, it's like, oh, look, I want to go to see my kids swim at their swimming carnival today. So work can take a back seat today and I can get on to do that sort of work tomorrow. But most people don't have those sorts of options.
Yeah, that's right. You get that balance, and you get to decide your own balance, I guess, on spending time on certain projects or certain activities that are important to you at that time. And then
exactly,
maybe you'll want to work hard on something for a while that is important to you, but then maybe other things crop up and you can quickly move across and do something else, like something with your family. You can spend more time doing things like that. So it's really about being able to choose the balance that's right for you. I don't really think there is a one right answer. I mean, some people will get to that stage of being financially independent, but they might really genuinely enjoy their job and feel like they are making a difference, so that they'll be able to keep doing that job, but they'll be in a much more secure financial position if anything were to go wrong and they couldn't do that job anymore.
Yeah.
But also, or if it so happens that they no longer enjoy that job, because even in enjoyable jobs, things do happen and things change, and you might not feel like that forever.
Yeah.
So that's another important aspect too.
Even after working 10 years, I can comfortably say that, you know, things that you once enjoyed become stale after a few years. And if you think that what you enjoy now, whatever age you may be, you're 25, 30, 35, that you're going to continue enjoying it when you're 50, I mean, you're going to have another thing coming. Doing something monotonous and exactly the same for 20 years straight, it takes someone with an incredible amount of passion in a very narrow, narrow field of expertise to be able to do something like that for that long and not want some sort of change.
Yeah, exactly. Because people change over time. You know, we all have different things that are important to us at different stages of our lives. So expecting to love the same job forever and base your life around that and the income from that is just a bit of a, it's a,
well, it's a bit naive, you know? And not to say that it can't happen. I'm sure there's plenty of people who've stayed in one job or one career and have enjoyed it for 30 years, but I wouldn't, you know, bet my entire life on that being the case for myself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, so now we thought we'd run through a little bit about who we are for those of us who don't know us.
Yeah. So I think it's really interesting what Dave and I are doing here because we do come from very different places on this journey. And so we'd probably just like to describe exactly where we're at and where we've come from and how that all sort of feed into this podcast. So I am 32 years old. I've been working for roughly a decade now. I've been working longer than that, but in my full-time career, I've been working for roughly a decade. Born and raised in Sydney. And I'm currently renting a one-bedroom apartment with my partner. And we both have these full-time jobs that we've been doing for a little while. I've always been somewhat good with money, but got really serious about financial independence and retiring early in late 2016 and early 2017. And that's when I started my blog, lifelongshuffle.com. And during that time, I've decided that investing in the share market would be the best strategy for me and hope to retire in a few years. It always depends on what the market's doing, of course, but, you know, 3 to 4 years would be a good goal for me at the moment.
Thanks for that, Pat. So my name's Dave. Obviously, you know that already. I'm originally from country Victoria. I moved to Perth when I was 18. For work reasons. That was in the booming mining days of Perth in the mid-2000s. I'm now 31, living with my partner and my British bulldog in the outer suburbs of Perth. And we like to live a pretty simple life, so I actually retired a couple of years ago, so I can share a little bit about that story. So when I was about 19, I was working in a sheet metal factory. And the job was all right, but we got a new boss and he was a fair bit of an arsehole. so although the job was all right, work started getting old pretty quickly.
Yeah. And what did you do in the sheet metal factory?
I was just a labourer. So I just used to kind of run the machines and we used to make air conditioning duct. Ductwork that goes in, roofs and stuff. Yeah, we used to make that stuff.
Nice.
So it wasn't too bad. It wasn't great in the heat because it was like, super hot factory. I used to joke and say it was a sweatshop because it was so hot.
There's no air conditioning for you.
Yeah, exactly. How ironic, hey? You make air conditioning duct that you got no aircon.
So it's really interesting. Did you start doing that straight out of school or did you get into that a bit afterwards? Or
so when I came to Perth, I had like $800 in the bank, so I needed a job pretty much straight away, but I wasn't too worried about that because there was so many jobs in Perth at the time. I remember googling when I was back in Victoria and there was I think I googled like factory hand jobs or laborer jobs and there was just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of jobs all over Perth, so I wasn't too worried about that. So I started that when I was 18, I guess a couple of months after I turned 18, I drove over to Perth with a mate and managed to get that job within about a week or so of being in Perth, which was pretty lucky.
Yeah, well.
So after realizing that I didn't want to be at this workplace anymore, it kind of prompted me to look around and I guess I kind of thought to myself, I don't want to have to put up with people like this in my workplace, you know.
People like what?
Like crap bosses. So it just kind of prompted me to look around the workplace and no one else seemed to bother with it. Everyone else just seemed to kind of put their head down and just accept it and just accept that that's the way things were and you have to put up with crap like that just to, you know, earn the paycheck that you need to pay your bills. And I was looking at people that were, you know, like in their 50s and even in their 60s and they're still working these reasonably physically demanding jobs. And they didn't really look very, they just didn't look happy to me. They didn't look very satisfied with their lives and they just kind of shuffled along and, you know, doing the same thing every day. And I just kind of decided that that wasn't just that that wasn't okay, that there had to be some other option out there and some other way to live your life, essentially.
In that moment, you saw your future laid out before you in the eyes of the deathly eye of your colleagues.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? I mean, if you look at someone in your workplace, you could quickly, easily see that, well, if I stay here and keep doing this, I'm going to be this guy in another 30 years or 40 years.
Yep.
And I just thought, nah, that's not cool. There has to be something else. So I ended up, I was getting pretty annoyed at work. So I ended up going home and I started Googling about how to, you know, build wealth and stuff, because I figured that at least if you're wealthy, you don't have to put up with stuff like that. You know, you don't have to work if you don't want to, and you can kind of call the shots yourself in a way.
Yes.
So I went down the rabbit hole of Mr. Google and started trying to find out how to build wealth so you could, you know, retire and not have to actually put up with stuff like that. So
started
a bit of a journey.
Was it a retire? Were you searching retiring from the beginning, or was it just like, did you just have this vague concept of getting wealthy?
It was very, very vague. It was just like, well, everyone needs a paycheck. If I was wealthy enough so that I didn't need a paycheck, then I don't have to put up with crap like this. So, you know, you can kind of spend your time how you want. So that was about as detailed as it was at that point.
Yeah, fair enough.
So then I ended up finding out more about investing and stuff like that. So I ended up going down a longish journey of mostly property investing and then some share investing towards the end.
Mm.
And I saved quite aggressively over those years and met my partner along the way pretty early on in the journey, and she was on board too. So we ended up buying quite a few properties together, and then later we got into shares and we're more focused on that now. And due to the pretty strong level of savings that we were able to achieve with our jobs, actually managed to retire in 2017.
Yeah.
So I was 28 at the time. So that was much sooner than I expected.
Yeah, Jesus, 28. That's got to be quite an extraordinary story. I don't think many people hear the word, like, hear that, it's like, oh, I retired at 28. They immediately assume, like, oh, this guy got an inheritance, or, you know, this guy must be a lawyer or a doctor who's on $1 million a year or something. But
I would just assume it's a scam. Like, there's no possible way that that's true.
So instead of Strong Money Australia, it's just Scam Money Australia?
Yeah, Money Australia. And instead of a lawyer, you'd be a liar. But at that, like, it's weird, right? Because you kind of get to that stage and then you want to start helping other people, because you realize that other people aren't all that good with their money, and you see that it's not that hard to manage your money better and to spend less and save more and invest. It's just different. It's not necessarily really hard. So you kind of want to help people, but then if you've got a story like that and people hear about retiring early, like super early, I think they almost switch off. Like it must be too hard or too detailed, or you need massive income, or all these probably doubts, I guess, are going through their head of reasons why it can't be true.
No, yeah, I was just going to say, it's like, as soon as you hear that, it's just like, well, I don't know how he did that, but it must be some sort of a lie. Like it's not instantly believable, but I suppose it does draw some people in who continue to read or continue to look into it, and they end up really going deep into the financial independence retire early movement, if you'll call it. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but yeah, and they end up going deep down this rabbit hole and listening to podcasts by Dave and Pat.
And it's definitely, because it's growing so much, it is, when you hear stories like that, now it's almost kind of normalized now. You're like, oh, okay. So someone else has gone down this kind of route as well. And people are, so I think the more examples you have of people like that, the more weight it lends to the movement in itself, and that it is possible for even, you know, regular people.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what, Dave? I mean, that's, because your story is so different to mine, that's what I think I find very interesting about this. So as like a bit of an example, I mean, Dave is already retired, as he just said, but I'm still definitely on that journey and I'm still several years off. So whereas Dave is in the retirement phase, I'm in the accumulation phase.
Because we can bounce ideas backwards and forwards and we're both... Yeah.
We are both quite young, so maybe we don't bring that sort of dynamic to that case. But, you know, I come from Sydney, born and raised, so very high cost of living area in Australia. But I also come from a position where I do have a very high income and my partner's income is high. Whereas almost more impressively, I don't think you had that, Dave. You didn't really have those high incomes to really push you forward.
So on average, it's hard to give income figures because, you know, over the period of like 10 years, your income can change, you know, up and down, whatever.
Yeah,
so, absolutely. And I did overtime for quite a few years, so that kind of skews it as well. But on average, our incomes were, we both work full time and no kids, just a dog. So we both earned around, I'd say, 75K each on average. So as a household, that's like 150K, which I'd say is actually like really high income. It might not be to some people, but it kind of is as well to many others.
Yeah.
So if you look at like the median or even the average Aussie full-time wage, it's about that. It's about $75,000. So we weren't on ridiculous salaries, but we definitely weren't low income earners either.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you were just touching on then, Pat, is I think you're kind of pointing out how different everyone's journey is. You know, everyone's lives in different places, different income, different expenses. So like, and it is possible to totally tailor this stuff to suit your own situation.
Precisely. Yeah. And it's also good if, you know, some people might relate more to your situation than they do with mine, and that can, you know, help people perhaps enjoy the podcast a bit more.
Totally. And I think that's another reason why there is so many blogs and podcasts, is because everyone's sharing their own views and their own way of doing things, and that resonates with a different group of people.
Yes.
So absolutely. Although it seems like, oh, there's so much content out there, you seem to gravitate towards certain people that their message or just the person kind of connects with you more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose this is a good segue into exactly why are we both now deciding to do a podcast when we both have these quite successful blogs, I'll say. I mean, I'm not sure if they're the most successful or how people would define success, but I'm quite happy with where my blog is at. I think
people read them. People read them, so that's successful.
Well, yeah, exactly. If a few people read it, it must be okay.
It's not just us and our mums.
No, definitely not. So what do you think, Dave? Why have you decided to do this podcast?
There's actually, there's quite a few reasons. So we met for the first time in Sydney at the Playing With Fire documentary screening. Yes. And we've talked online a few times before, but we met for the first time in Sydney, and we actually, I can't remember how it came up, but we actually thought of the idea of starting something together. Yes. I don't even know how that
was. What was that? Was that like a year ago now?
Oh yeah, longer than a year. Oh
really?
Was it longer than a year?
I don't know.
Anyway, so we have quite a bit in common, even though we're different, and we probably have quite a bit to talk about, you know, and quite a few reasons, really. So one of them is not everyone has time or feels like reading blogs, you know, like everyone spends plenty of time in front of screens already. Some people spend the whole day in front of a screen. So reading blogs maybe at night or whatever is maybe the last thing that they want to do. So podcasts, on the other hand, is super flexible where you can really listen to it anywhere. So people can listen to their podcasts when they're commuting or they're walking the dog or doing the dishes or anything really. So you don't have to be using your full attention with your eyes, you know, reading the screen. You can just listen while you're doing something else, which is really flexible. And that's something that obviously isn't possible with blogs or even YouTube to some extent.
Yeah, exactly. And I know I definitely do that when I'm commuting to and from work. I stick on some podcasts and I have a listen to them because, I don't know, you just eventually get bored of staring out a window or driving.
So circling back to, you know, us meeting in Sydney and that, we after discussing this, throwing this podcast idea out there, we thought that we could put something good together. We could join forces and we could bounce ideas off each other really well. And, you know, we can dive right into topics and have both of us discussing it. And that'll probably lead to, you know, really good quality, deep discussions about all different topics related to financial independence.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I remember at the time I needed to take a rain check because I was like looking for new work, and then I started a new job, and then, you know, my life's, how busy my life got, just spiraled out of control. And I put a huge delay on the whole let's start this thing until maybe, what, a month ago, when I just sent a random email back to Dave saying, hey, how about that podcast? And here we are.
So the idea really is just for us to provide like good quality content that's convenient for people to consume, you know, because even if we go deep into a topic, you can do that on a blog, but then not everyone wants to read a 4,000 word blog post, you know. So it's not, it is definitely easier to get into those meaty topics in conversation. And the different points of view will probably be interesting for people too, you know, because I'm sure we won't, our ideas won't perfectly line up all the time. So people will get different opinions and different thoughts.
Yes, yes. And just remember, if we disagree, I'm right. Dave is right.
You're right, but I'm retired.
What, does that mean you'll give me the silver because you've got the gold? Well, yeah, that's it for today, guys. I think we've covered everything we wanted to in this intro podcast, but check the rest of the podcast because we've also uploaded another two podcasts when we've launched so that you have some more meaty content to get into. Thanks for listening and spending some time with us, and we're really looking forward to bringing you great fire content. If you enjoyed the show, hit subscribe or leave a review. Wow, I didn't think I'd be saying that.
And if you guys have any topic suggestions, if you have any questions you'd like us to answer on the show, or if you have any feedback, you can email us at fireandchillpod@gmail.com. And the show notes and any info related to this podcast you can find at our blogs, strongmoneyaustralia.com and lifelongshuffle.com. Thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.